Hello, team. We're starting correct test.
We're in a debate between the nefesh and the seichel. The nefesh is the lower self, the base self. The self which enjoys this world, is happy in this world on a physical plane, but feels to some degree empty and realizes there must be more meaning and is always gnawing at its conscience. Is there any difference between me and an animal? And then he turns to the seichel, the other part of itself, which they're bound together eternally, and the seichel is given guidance. So the nefesh now, after having resolved the debate of free will versus determinism, which we explained, maybe not exactly the same way that he explained it, it's worth all looking inside, but we gave our interpretation. So then he goes on to his next question, and he says, okay, you've resolved a lot of the questions for me, but there's still something which is bothering me. I still don't clearly understand what my unique mission here on this world is. What's the matarat yetzirati? Why did Hashem bring this neshama down to the world? Why am I different from an animal? What makes me unique? Could you explain to me what I'm supposed to be doing here? What is determined? What is my choice? How am I supposed to be behaving? And then the nefesh continues and gives a mashal. Mashal that he heard, which is going to suit well into the next stage. There was once an island, off India, Iye Hodu, the mashal, but just so you know where he gets it. And the people there, they had this interesting, unique minhag, where they would bring someone external in, and they would give them rulership over their area for 1 year, and he would be kicked out after a year. And that's how they went from year to year. Doesn't sound so logical to me that you did such a thing, but that was how they ran their country. There was inner conflict, and they wanted someone else to come, but they didn't want to take too much power. So they only gave him a 1 year lease of his rulership. And after that year, then he would go back, and they would bring someone new in. Someone came in, and he got very excited about all the power that he had. Now he's a ruler over a whole island. And he started building himself a castle and building himself games areas, and he built a wall, and he got very invested in the place. And then after a year, his time was up, and they said, thank you very much, you've invested tremendously in our town, in our country, in our island, time for you to go. And he was crying, and he said, but everything I invested and everything that I put in here, I invested my very self. And they said, right, but that's how we work here, thank you very much, we appreciate what you've done, have a good life. Then they bring in someone new. And the new person, he's a clever guy, and he realizes that if they kicked out someone after a year, there must be some system that's going on here, and so he befriends one of the locals, one of the natives, and he says to him, tell me, like, what's the plan here? Like, what happens here? And this native says to him, well, this is how we work, and he tells him the whole system. And he goes, well, thank you for telling me. Now I know. So he starts investing in foreign currency, and he starts sending all the money out and investing overseas, so that when he finally has to leave, then he won't be left alone. Like someone who lives in a country where they're not able to take too much money out. They just, every time they're able to, they send money to Israel, send money to Israel, send money to Israel, send money to Israel. And then eventually when they retire, instead of them being stuck that they can't bring all their money out of their country, they've already invested so much money in Israel that they can come to Israel and they can have a good life of all the work they've put in over the years. They're able to benefit from it because they've invested it all in Israel, which is where they're retiring to. So this Jew, this Pekeah, this wise man, he did that, and when his year came close to an end, he was feeling mixed emotions. On the one hand, he was feeling sad because he'd still like been involved in the place and he'd become accustomed to the place and he was comfortable there. It's what he knew. He'd got familiar with the people and no one likes change. Everyone likes to just like be in a place and be resolved there. So on the one hand, he was sad. On the other hand, he was very happy because his opportunity that he had to be there for that year enabled him to send out a lot of money. And now when he goes back to his regular station in life, he's tremendously enriched from his investments that he's made outside. His darez la'asot b'leiv sameach o b'nefesh chafetza likrat kavod ha'gadol v'simchat tmidit that he had waiting from outside. Says the nefesh, after telling that story, I'm very concerned that I know I'm only here temporarily. The nefesh is more the body side of man. I know I'm only here temporarily. And I'm not sure exactly what my mission is, what my goal is. I want to invest well. That's why I'm turning to you to help me understand what should I be investing in, that it won't be short-term pleasure, but I'll be investing in something which is going to give me long-term benefit. Could you teach me that? Because the nefesh is turning to sales one thing. I know you have a higher understanding of how these things work. I want to do what's good. I want to do what makes sense, but I don't have that clarity, that vision. The Seichel says to him, you got it exactly right. The world that you are in currently is a world which gives immediate pleasure, but not a lasting pleasure. And if you invest in it and you get carried away with it, you get so absorbed in it that then you lose your sense of self. Now I want to take my own piece on this now. The Gemara says that tzaddikim, kivrei tzaddikim einam metameim. And also kivrei goyim are not metameim. The kivrei Yisrael are metameim. So if you go to a Kohen is not allowed to go to a graveyard of Jews, if he flies over a non-Jewish graveyard, there's not a problem with that. And Me'ikar Adin, or the Kohanim are machmir on this, even a kever of a tzaddik, it's not metame, but they usually machmona. Some Kohanim have a tradition, they do go into Kever Rachel, or sometimes a Rishon Bo Yochai, or Ma'atam Achpela, and many don't. That's a machloke. But either way, the Gemara says that it's not metame. So what does that mean? Like, why is a goy not metame, and a tzaddik is not metame, but a regular Jew is? What's happening there? I read an interesting perish on that, this from Rav Shlomo Avinay, writes the following. He says, the body and the soul are very far away from one another. And the concept of tumah is when it's a hollow. Halal is a dead body, and that's where there's tumah. What happens with this tumah? Let's talk about a baby being born. So a baby being born makes the mother tameh. Why, what happened? There was spirituality, there was a neshama inside the mother. Now the neshama leaves, the baby has left the mother, so the neshama that was inside is now gone. There's a hollow, a vacuum that was left behind. That vacuum is what tameh is. And there was spirituality there, and the spirituality has gone. So when a person dies, and even to some degree when an animal dies, there was a neshama inside the body. When the neshama leaves, the body is an empty utensil. An empty utensil which once held holiness. That's the definition of tameh. Even the idea of emitting seed, emitting semen, zera, that also makes a person tell me he has to go to the mikveh, mikar adin, to go to the Beit HaMikdash, let's say. Why? Because there was potential for life there. There was the ability to bring life into the world. And now it's gone. It's gone out. I don't know who says this, but one of the commentators explains that why is a woman tell me for double the amount of time when she has a girl than a boy? For a girl, it's altogether 80 days. For a boy, altogether 40 days. Why is double the amount of time? Because a girl is a woman, she is a woman holding an neshama who could also hold neshamas. And therefore, it has potential within potential. So double the amount of time. As opposed to a man can't hold a life in him. He can't hold a neshama of a baby inside of himself. He has seed, but he doesn't have a full neshama. So the constant tumor is where there was holiness there, and the holiness has been removed. There's a vacuum left behind. This next point is amazing. The tumor is only left behind if there was a vacuum. The soul and the body have to be very far away from one another. And then when the neshama leaves, all that's left is the shell. And that's what creates. So a regular Jew, his body and his soul are not really one and the same. There's a big distance between them. They have different levels. And therefore when the neshama leaves, it leaves behind an empty utensil. But a tzaddik on the one end, and a person who wasn't granted such a holy neshama to begin with on the other end, there wasn't such a big difference between the neshama and their body. And therefore when the neshama leaves, it didn't leave such a great vacuum. And therefore, kivrei goyim ar metame, because not a great vacuum was left behind. And also on the other end, kivrei tzaddikim ar metame, because they've risen their body to such a high degree that their body is doing the same act, if you like, or it's just subservient to the soul. That it becomes, in a sense, like it's just an extension of the soul. So it's not that it was left behind. They were already that close. And the Gemara says that tzaddikim, their death is something which is very smooth and very easy, doesn't cause them any pain. And the reason is because when a person associates himself with his body, so if you have a person who died, then a neshama leaves. And now the neshama looks down at the body. Now, if the person had associated himself totally with the body, then now that the neshama leaves the body and looks down at the body, it has a crisis. Because that's me. That's the real me. The way that person dresses and the way that person acts and what that person eats, and now you're saying I'm something else? What is this something else? They have this crisis of who am I now? Because a person spends his whole life investing in the physical, he associates himself with how he looks, how he dresses, what he eats, all his physical things that he does. When his soul leaves, and his soul is the real self, and now he leaves, and it looks back at the body, it says, but what am I now? The real self is now rotting and decomposing. So what's left? Who am I now? And that causes tremendous pain. Tremendous pain to the neshama of a person who their whole life associated themselves with their soul, with their body. However, if a person's whole life, they were good to their body, they gave the food that needs to be eaten, and they groomed it properly, they weren't ignoring their body. But as we spoke about once before, they just treated their body as an animal that they used to get around from place, as a car, to get around from place to place, that they had to take care of well so to keep functioning. But they never said, like, I am my clothing. They never said, I am the guy who eats this type of food. And that was never the way they defined their sense of self, by all their physical. So when their neshama leaves, so the language is, it's no different to taking off one piece of item of clothing and putting another item of clothing. Meaning they anyway associate themselves with their body. Excuse me, with their soul. So when their soul leaves their body and looks back down, they say, okay, and it serves, it's like someone who buys a new car. They say, like, that car served me well, we had good times together, I'm glad that, you know, we did a good job together, and now I'm buying a new car. Because I am the one who's moving. I'm not the one being left behind. When a person associates himself with his soul. So there's a soul that hasn't been born yet. This soul is in the higher world. And in the upper world, it has no free choice. So it's not doing anything. It's close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but stuck. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to grant goodness to this soul. And the only way that a person can have any goodness in the world is through choosing to be close to Hashem. But if you're just programmed to be close to Hashem, you don't get any benefit from that. You don't get any reward from that. You don't get any sense of, like, you have done it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed us in such a way that we only function well if we've done it ourselves. Which you can clearly, clearly see in learning. When a person learns, and all he's doing is just reading the words and understanding what it's saying, but not thinking at all in any way, if he has any connection to what's being said, then it feels empty. It feels external. Okay, I know that, now I know that, I read this, I read that, very good, go to bed, you still feel as empty as you were when you woke up. You have more, not information. Someone happened to ask you some information, you could say over, but you don't feel it built your inner world. You don't feel more rich as an inner world. I told the story before, but it's worth telling again. Rav Shimon Schwab went for Shabbos to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asked him, tell me, how did the man taste? So Rav Shimon Schwab said, like anything you were thinking of. The Chofetz Chaim said, and what if you weren't thinking? What if you weren't thinking at the time? Then what did it taste like then? The Shimon Schwab said, I'm not sure. What did it taste like then? The Chofetz Chaim said to him, apparently it sounds much better in Yiddish, but it's not my mother tongue. The Chofetz Chaim said to him, if you don't think, it doesn't have any taste. That's learning. If you're learning and not thinking when you're learning, so then it doesn't have any sweetness, doesn't have any pleasure, doesn't have any joy, because who's learning? Well, you're repeating a thought of someone else, but it didn't really come through you. You didn't really analyze it. You didn't really process it. It was just like, the Gemara calls chamor noses svarim, like a donkey carrying books. Shoya. Or in a modern day example, that would be, I bought a flash drive and downloaded 10,000 svarim. You have it on a, great. You have a flash drive. What does that mean anything? The fact that you've read and read and read and read, if you haven't asked yourself, how does that relate to me? How do I understand that? What does that mean to me? How do I process it? How has my life changed now by absorbing this information? It remains external. So the neshama is in the upper world. And in the upper world, the neshama is stuck. It's not moving anywhere. It's not going anywhere. And Hashem wants to do a tova. Hashem created us to do tova to us. So he brings us down to this world with challenge. But with challenge, with a choice. Choice means challenge. You have an ability to come close to Hashem through you choosing, through you tasting, through you learning, through you understanding your way, your connection to the Baruch Hu uniquely. You could also choose not to. That's your choice. Hashem made it in such a way that it's exactly equally balanced. You could choose Him or you could choose the opposite. So this neshama that hasn't been born yet is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for coming down and at the same time very scared. Because he has security right now. The neshama in Shemaim has security and is saying, I'm not sure that I want it. I'm not sure. Maybe it's better to stay where I am now and not risk the chance of falling. And Hashem says, I believe in you. I believe in you, Neil Neshamala. I trust in you that you are going to go down and I will give you the kochot to succeed. I will send you a family which may be good for you and you'll learn from. Or maybe bad from you and you'll learn from. But either way, I'll give you all the opportunities that you have which you will be able to grow in this world. And you have the potential to grow even greater than you are right now. And I trust in you and I believe in you. Batzlocha. Sends the neshama down. And then the neshama doesn't know what's going on initially. Has a large acclimatization period. Just like when you walk into a new room and you were in a dark room and you walk into a very light room. Right, there's a few minutes where you can't see anything. Or the other way around as well. Where you can't, when you're in a bright room, you suddenly go into a dark room. Probably better, mashallah. Right? And then you can't see anything for the first few minutes. And it takes the time for your eyes to acclimatize. The neshama for the first few years has no idea what's going on. And it's so overwhelmed by the physicality of a baby, food, eating, drinking. The neshama has no room for expression. But then, as the baby gets older, and as the physical needs become more independent, the neshama starts expressing its voice. Quietly, timidly, slowly but surely, it says, is there room for me in this world? Can I express my opinion in this world? And then starts a battle, where the body, which was very dominant initially, has to recognize, this is not the end goal, this is not the purpose. And the person enters a battle which some people face, well, everyone faces their entire life, but some people don't even recognize that they're in their entire life. And those people who are more sensitive, they recognize, this is the mission, this is the goal. Because this Baruch Hu has given me opportunity, and this is my purpose in the world. My purpose in the world is to recognize that I do have physical drawings, but that's not my essence. My whole goal is alignment. Who am I aligning myself with? How am I defining my sense of self? Is myself, my body, or is myself my shaman? Now don't go to either extreme in an unhealthy way. Unhealthy way would be, I'm toasting my body and I don't care anything about spiritual growth. Unhealthy way on the other end would be, I'm toasting my soul and I'm ignoring any physical needs that I have. Either extreme would be unhealthy. Rather, you have to be true to reality, which is you're a neshama in a body. And a neshama in a body means you have to give the body its needs. You have to sleep enough. You have to eat healthily and eat well to take care if there's any basic human needs like friendship or rest that you're allowing them to be expressed. But never turn that into the goal. Never allow that to be your purpose in life. Never make that your Bible, your temple. That's always a sideline. You're always taking care of your basic needs just in order to get a step further. Just in order to say who you really are in life, what your real purpose is. And that's the success of the neshama. That's the success of your mission in life. Now who's asking the question here is the nefesh. I mean the nefesh is the more physical side. Really who's asking the question here is the body. It's the body, but it's the part of the body which has a recognition that there's more. And it's a hard to hear. It's a hard thing to hear. I mean, the body is saying, but I enjoy food. That I enjoy sleeping. That I enjoy socializing with friends. You're telling me that's not the point? It's a hard thing to hear. Because that's what you become so accustomed to. And it's so immediate. It's so immediate pleasure that you get. To hear that's not the end goal. It's very challenging. L'matar azor bara haboreit barach v'chokhmato l'ma'anech. For your sake, et ha'olam hazeh. In kol asher bo, Hashem has given you in this world everything that you need. Tomem, tomea, chai, v'seder mesudar, shakol muchan l'to'alatecha. Everything in this world was created for your benefit, but not your benefit of this is the end goal. V'char Hashem et ha'mubchar et ha'tov, guf ha'adam, u'patach lach heichal, shal sh'arim el ha'olam, v'ifkid sh'arim ha'ne'emanim, לפתוח ולנעור את השוערים. השוערים הם הכלים הגשמיים שהחושים הרוחניים משתמשים בהם. It's an important phrase, I want to read that again. You have five gates to the world. Man has five ways of accessing the world through his five senses. But he also gives you guardians in order that you won't be overwhelmed with the sensation of the world. And listen to this phrase carefully. שוערים אלה הם הכלים הגשמיים שהחושים הרוחניים משתמשים בהם. This is a very deep concept. In the same way as you have a physical eye, you have a spiritual eye. When the Torah speaks about Re'eh Natati Lefanecha, It's not referring to physically seeing. When the Torah says Shema Yisrael, it's not only referring to physically hearing. You have a spiritual inner component to the external physical thing. And the goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you is to use all those senses, all your interactions with the world, to be a mashal, for you to learn about the deeper way of connecting to Hashem. How is the neshama supposed to relate to Hashem in this world? In this world, Hashem is not evident. So here's the game. The game. Imagine you're making a puzzle, and you have no idea what the puzzle is. So you have a picture which you're trying to build, which you put on the side, and you look at that picture, and according to that picture, you're putting all the pieces in the right place. Right? And your goal is to build the puzzle, but the picture is your guide, which you use in order to understand what the puzzle is supposed to look like. Your goal in this world is to connect the neshama to Hashem. The neshama will return to Hashem, but in this world. How are you supposed to do that? The guide you have are the physical things. The physical things that you have in this world, the things that you see, the things that you hear, the things that you understand, those then become your guide. Your goal is to use your eyes to look at things which will enhance your feeling of closeness to Hashem. Just to give an example. If you see someone who you feel has a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you look at them, and you say, like, there's Hadras Panim. There's someone who I look at their face and I can see Selam Elokim. You don't even know what that means exactly. But you just feel like a sense of awe. You feel a sense of kavod. Not an external one, an internal one. You say, like, wow, that's someone special. That's someone unique. You've used your eyes to gain a spiritual understanding. Sometimes you get it through nature. You use your ears. Now you can choose what to use your ears for. Your ears and your eyes, all the senses, are the gateways to the soul. Everything you look at will either be purifying the soul and bring it to its source or doing the opposite, chas v'chalila. The gateways that you have are the tools that you have in this world to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you wouldn't be able to see, hear, smell, taste, or feel, your soul would be cut off. It would be like a neshama inside a paralyzed person. There's no growing. There's no ability. To some degree, it's similar to what it was like before it was born. A soul in this world without any access to this world is stuck. It's not able to grow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you all these gates, which are physical gates, which you get to choose what to enter, what to bring in, for you to use, for the soul to learn about a higher mission. And then it becomes your mission, a battle. A constant raging battle. Of you have influences that you choose, they're either enabling you to connect more to Hashem or to send you away. That's your mission in the world, says the Seichel to the Neshama. You get to choose. So we're in the middle of a major concept, as Hashem will continue on Sunday. Have a good Shabbat.